Good morning, everyone. Philippians 1, starting at verse 27, concluding Philippians chapter 2, verse 18. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, when I come and see you, or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Chapter 2. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship from the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded with the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even on the cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at every name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast in the day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing. But even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice in me. The reading, that is the reading of the law. If we can just say a few words, prayer for Matt. Heavenly Father, thank you very much for Matt and Amy and the family for their inspiration and their dedication to Warrawee. We pray that you speak through him as he delivers the word on Philippians. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Thank you. Thanks, Pete. And thanks for your prayers for me. We're going through the book of Philippians. And I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. Are you more like Christ today than you were a week ago? Just have a think about the last 7 days. Are you more like Christ today than you were a week ago? Let me press in a little bit more and ask you this. Are you more like Christ in how humble you are than a week ago? In your humility? Have you become more like Christ? For Christians, this is how God works. He works within us to spiritually form us to become more like Jesus Christ, to be made into his image. Have a little bit of a think. When have you done something behind the scenes recently? I did 4 loads of washing the other week when I was at home. I was just working from home, doing some emails, working on talk, bits and pieces. I did the washing. I hung it up. I took it down again. I put it into the basket. And then my wife asked me if I could pack it away in the cupboards. And she said, well, I folded it. I said, yeah, but you folded the washing that I washed, I took out, I hung up, I took and put in the basket. I'll just share that with you now. What a great guy I am. In fact, I'm probably one of the most humble people here as I look around. In terms of humility, I'm great. If you think about the things that we do, even the things that we try and do to serve, the things that we try and do behind the scenes, the things that we try and do with humility, we're secretly very pleased with it. There's something really wrong with our hearts. I actually want my wife to give me the glory for the things I have done. I actually don't want to put the washing away. I've done all the other stuff. Something is wrong even with our hearts. And there's something wrong with our relationships. In what we've read, I hope you've got it open, maybe on your iPhone, iPad, maybe in a Bible as well. Philippians 1 and the beginning of 2 here is amazing, is incredible. And the framework in which Paul is writing to the Philippians is about relationships. In verse 5 he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. And then he talks about humility. The framework for what we're going to talk about this morning is our relationships with one another. Have the same mindset, the same understanding. Be like Christ in your humility, in our humility. But we've got to recognize that we need help. We need help. So the big idea of what we're looking at for the guys up the back is that Jesus humbled himself. Here's the picture, here's the goal, here's the motivation. Jesus humbled himself, and our first point is that Jesus made himself nothing. That's actually how it's described. He made himself nothing. Chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says this, Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, he was God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. It's worth just thinking on that for a moment. The God of the universe, the God who created all things, Jesus Christ, who creates and sustains everything, steps into his creation. Becomes one of his creation. Comparatively, he made himself nothing. The greatest being in our universe that we struggle to even understand his greatness, he made himself nothing in order to step into the world that he had made. I love to have yum cha. If you ever want to go and have yum cha with me, I know a few good places, and I love to do it. And I love to do it with my friends who are of a Chinese background. And they told me this story. You know, if you've ever been to yum cha and you pour cups of tea to each other and you take your fingers and you do a little tap. Well, that's how the authentic people do it. And the story that was told to me of that tradition, it came because the emperor of China, one powerful, glorious emperor, wanted to walk out amongst his people. But he didn't want to be recognized. So him and his bodyguards were eating. They were having some yum cha. And he served the tea. Now, if the emperor was ever to do that to anyone, you needed to bow down to him. And yet they didn't want to give away his identity. And so they took their fingers and his bodyguard just did a little tap as if they were bowing without giving away his identity. I just love that story. And every time I'm at yum cha, I tell that story. There's a few variations on it. But in that story, he's still the great and powerful emperor. He's walking amongst his people, but he's still being worshipped. He's still getting the honor that he deserves. But when Jesus walks among his people, he does so as a servant. He walks in the dust and the dirt. He's born as a little baby in a manger to a working class family. In a village in the back of nowhere. He doesn't have a home to call his own as he walks with his followers. They are rejected. They are pushed around. In the end, he is killed. If we think about the scale of humility, I saw it written once that Jesus left such luxury, such paradise, such greatness. He left the ultimate gated community, is how it was described. You know, the gated communities where it's all the rich people live and they pull up their high fences. Jesus was there behind the pearly gates in perfect relationship with his Father, in perfect love. And he left it, made himself nothing, emptied himself. Actually, it says he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped and held onto. He emptied his hands, he emptied himself, and he came down as one of his own creatures. But more than that, and this is the second point for the guy's mind mapping, Jesus humbled himself even to death and to death on a cross. And we see that in verse 8. Being found in appearance as a man, emptying himself, becoming one of his creatures, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. He died as a criminal. In fact, there were two thieves, one on his left, one on his right. He was in the middle as a criminal. The Romans killed him after torturing him, after beating him, after an unfair trial, after a chance in which he could have defended himself and he didn't to the powerful. He kept his mouth quiet and he went to the cross. He didn't live out to old age just wisely teaching his followers about God. He died for his followers. He gave his own life up on the cross. He died in our place for our sins. He was innocent. He was fully man and yet he was fully God. And in that he was innocent and he died for the guilty. He was God and he died for humanity. He actually died not just for his creatures but for his enemies. If we struggle even to do something good, even to do something out of humility and our heart wars with us and says, I need to get the glory for this. I need to be honored for this. If we think about the other things in our mind and in our heart that we strive for, that we want to take in and with our hands, I deserve this. Very rarely will people die for their nation or a leader or even just a great idea. People are prepared to die, but very rarely would anyone be prepared to die for their enemies. Would they lay down their life for those who have rejected them, those who hate them? And when Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, he did it for us as enemies. He did it to win our forgiveness. And he did it also to bring us into God's family. It's worth just thinking about that for a moment. God in heaven, in perfect love and perfect relationship, did not need us. He wasn't missing out on anything. He didn't want or need more friends or to have a larger family, and yet he made himself nothing in order that we could be completely forgiven and made completely free. And that is our identity. As Daz was explaining, as he was sharing, there are all these other things that we claim hold of, that we describe ourselves, and yet they don't define us. We are defined ultimately as being loved by God, free from sin, completely forgiven, and a child of God. Welcome into his family. And it's a free gift, which can't ever be taken away. Unlike those other things, like work, money, family, being an excellent sportsman or fashion icon, they can all go. Being absolutely forgiven and free and drawn into the family of God is ours forever. And so in the same way that Jesus was able to empty himself, make himself nothing, and let go of all that he had, we too can let go of those things that we cling onto. those things that we hold dearly to, that we want to describe and define us, we can let them go. Because we have been given so much forgiveness and family. And in fact, we see as God, as Jesus brought himself and emptied himself, made himself nothing, God raised him up and glorified him. We see that God exalted Jesus in verse 9 to 11. God exalted him to the highest place, gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When Jesus died and he broke the punishment for sin, he broke death and its power and its sting. He was raised to life. He is ruling and reigning again, back with his heavenly Father, having drawn those of us who are believers into his family. It's an incredibly glorious thing. Jesus has done it. He has conquered sin. He has conquered death. And he rules and reigns. His name is the highest and is the greatest. As he was brought down, he was also lifted up and glorified. And we struggle with that a little bit. Being brought down and lifted up, that's not an idea that we can wrap our head around a little bit. Yet it happens all the time. When I was working as a conference producer, there was a very interesting insight I got into the corporate world. I was producing a conference. I talked to a general manager before about being on a panel with us, and I went to another company, and as I was talking to them, the CEO agreed to be on the panel. And then there's a third company, and that CEO agreed. And so I was in a bit of a problem because I'd already booked this GM, this general manager, but he's not at the same level as the CEOs on the other company. And I talked to my boss about that, and he said, well, go back. He will understand that you actually need his boss on the panel. And I thought, this is going to be so awkward and uncomfortable. I called him up on the phone, and I said, I've got this panel that we're organizing. I've got the two CEOs. And he said, oh, I'll call my boss. He needs to be on that panel. Yeah, dodged a bullet. He said, I need to go down and my boss needs to take that rightful and honorable position. It's not good and right for our company if there's two CEOs from the other and then the general manager. No, my boss, even though he's busy, will swap and he will take that role and I will go down. I will make myself nothing. He didn't use those words as a general manager, but that's what happened in the corporate world. And as followers of Jesus, we have this opportunity to make ourselves nothing. But we understand that God is going to raise us up. He's going to lift us up because we're already guaranteed to be part of his family forever. It's already guaranteed to us that we are forgiven and we are free. And so as we think about the things that we cling onto, maybe it's our reputation. Maybe it's our name being great. Well, understand this. Our names are already written in the book of life. Our names are already there in heaven, next to those of Jesus Christ, whose name is lifted high. If we think about money that we hold on to, no, we have all the treasure and all the blessings of Christ there for us. God exalted Jesus, and for the followers of Jesus, we can make ourselves nothing because we will be glorified and exalted and be seated with him. That's why Paul wrote earlier, to live is Christ. It's great to serve him, and I'll pour my life out as a drink offering, and I'll have nothing left at the end, but to die is gain. I know that when I die, I will receive the fulfillment of all these blessings, being with the presence of Jesus Christ. And so that's why Paul's able to say it's a win situation. You have nothing to lose. You've been given all of these things. Value others above yourself. That's my final point. That's what he's saying about relationships. When he says, have the same mindset of Christ. Be like Christ in your humility. Verse 3, he says, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Ambition's fine, but selfish ambition, vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you look to the interests of others. That's an incredible challenge. Consider others better than yourself. Value the interests. Care about the interests of the people who are sitting beside you or of your neighbors in your street, or of those that you work with. Consider them better than you. Think out of love, compassion, creativity, how you can best serve them. As you become less, in order to serve and raise them up, knowing that God has promised to raise you up. You can value others above yourself. You can honor them, consider them. And as we think about the things we hold on to, our reputation, or maybe it's our rights, we're always clinging on to our rights. There are times in which we can open our hands and just give away our rights to defend ourselves, give away our rights to receive every single thing that we receive in order to value others, in order to serve others, in order to act out of humility and not get the glory for it, not receive the praise for the things that we have done. I want to show you one photo and tell a final story beforehand. I've stolen one of Chris's photos. This is the youth leaders at St. James at Elevate. There was a farewell last week for one of the leaders called Andy. I didn't know Andy that well, but I knew that he helped out at Elevate. And as people were talking about his help, he was the guy who would stack the chairs, put the chairs away, get things ready on a Friday afternoon for youth group, and then he would set them up again for Sunday morning for church. He was the guy who was always there on the barbecue, whether it was an event or coming back from a conference or a camp. And as people were talking about him and farewelling him and why he was leaving, I found out for the first time he's leaving because he's completed his PhD. He's leaving because he's going to work in a college in America with the three other people in the world who are involved in the same research that he is. And that doesn't make sense. If you're a PhD student, if you're a bright person, if you're an intellectual, if you're involved in research on a global level, it doesn't make sense that you spend your Friday afternoons stacking chairs. It doesn't make sense that you stay late and you pack them up again so they're ready for church. It doesn't make sense that you're the guy who's just flipping sausages for other 13 and 14-year-olds. Except he was a follower of Christ. Except he must have believed in this. He's following Jesus Christ, who made himself nothing, who left heaven, in fact, who humbled himself even to death on a cross on our behalf, in order that Andy, PhD, behind the scenes, youth leader, can serve others, can value the interests of 13 and 14-year-olds above himself, above his own reputation, above his own name, and seek to make an environment that works well for them so they can know Jesus. He made himself nothing. He lowered himself. And I know that God will lift him up. Let me ask you this question. Are you more like Christ than you were a week ago? Are you more like Christ in the way that you serve? Are you more like Christ in your humility? Are you humble in the way that Christ is? Are you able to lay down your life, to give up your rights, to empty your hands, knowing that God will lift us up, knowing that we are following a servant king? Why don't I pray for us? Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray for our whole church. I pray for all of us. This is really a matter of the heart that is so challenging, and we're able to disguise and justify so many things. And yet, as just true, clear followers of Jesus Christ, we are followers of the servant king. And Father, I pray for all of us that you would, in the power of your Spirit, just humble us, so that we're able to value others above ourselves, to do it without grumbling, to do it, in fact, with joy, to do it because of the joy that comes from knowing we are loved by you or being shaped into your image. And Father, I pray as a church we would be known for this. Empty our hands. Make us lower, Father, and fill us with your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your power and authority, and we thank you for your love, caring and support. Help us to live humbly and to be more like Christ every day. Help us that next Sunday at 10 o'clock, if Matt asks us, are we more like Christ than we were a week ago? Help us to be able to answer that question, yes. Lord, we honour you for the power you have over the weather. We thank you for the drought-breaking rains in various areas, which have quenched the thirst of many dry farmlands. But Lord, also we pray for those people who are affected by the rains and the storms and who's are going through lots of problems in relation to that. We thank you for the volunteers we've got that are helping out, and we pray that you be with those volunteers and others involved. We thank you, Lord, that we live in a country where nearly everybody is a volunteer in some respect, whether for the Christian education or for the SES or the school canteens. Lord, we pray for Mel and Dan Caird and our other missionary partners who have given up so much to speak on your behalf and to share your love with others. And Lord, we pray for everyone in this room to be given the appropriate opportunities and courage to also display and discuss their faith with others. Heavenly Father, when famous people die, we read about them in the newspaper and on the computer, about all their great achievements, whether in the sporting fields or the music fields or whatever, and we hear about the influence they have on others. Lord, give us the opportunities and courage to use our workplace and community place discussions on these topics of famous people. When they talk about these famous people's achievements and influences, give us the opportunity and courage to talk about your influence on our lives, Lord. Heavenly Father, finally, thank you for the energy and vision that Matt has with the youth group, and we pray that it get kick-started and go very well. And also we thank you for Robin's role in relation to the new playgroup. We thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to do that and Robin's energy and vigour, and we pray that it be a huge success. For Jesus' sake, amen.